Would you open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2? If I stand, you may think I'm preaching to you, so I'm just going to sit down and tell you a story. But it's a true story. Christmas, to many people, is a joyful time. Anyone here like Christmas? Any Scrooges here who don't like Christmas? Bah, humbug. I've had people tell me over the years, I hate Christmas. I don't see how a Christian can hate Christmas. Oh, I know there's some things that distract you. And for many, there's not good feelings or memories, problems in the past, family issues, loss of loved ones. But the story of God becoming a man, that is the greatest story, isn't it? Christmas is kind of traumatic for us, especially if you're the preacher. You're supposed to come up with something new every year. Well, we're not going to come up with something new. As I said last night, we don't have to come up with something new. We want to be reminded of the truth. For us in our family, it is a tough Christmas. For one, today's also our anniversary. It's not tough for me, but would you please, before you leave, give my wife a couple of $100 and just thank her for putting up with me as you leave. 22 years. Wow, and I was 30 when we got married. No, I think I was 20 when we got married. It's also the last year that we'll have kids at home. And so that's kind of tough. But I want to tell you the story of Christmas. You know, often our Christmas story is pretty messed up. We pull out all these odd characters to tell the Christmas story. We have the wise men who really didn't come for a couple of years after the birth of Christ. We have, of course, Joseph and Mary and shepherds and angels. Plus, then we pull out people like the little drummer boy and Frosty and Rudolph. And, of course, don't forget Santa. And we sing some odd songs, too, about angels singing, and there's no record of them ever singing. They spoke. There's some truth in our Christmas story. And if you really look at it, there's some very pagan superstitions and myths, legends. And somewhere in all of that, a baby's born. You know, every good story has three important ingredients. It has a beginning and an end and a middle. Sort of like a rope. What's a rope? A rope is a cord that has a beginning and an end and a middle. That's a good story. And the truth of the real Christmas story, as we saw last week, the gift exchange that God is willing to take my sin and credit it to Christ and yet take His righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and credit that to my account. Isn't that good news? Are you with me? That's good news in Christ. And we want to look at the simple story of Christmas today. It is so profound, so deep, that it blows our minds. But it's also very simple. Remove the clutter. All of the story of Christmas boils down to this. A Savior has been born. And don't we desperately need a Savior? Christ begins, the Christmas story of Christ begins before the beginning. Now, when's the beginning? Before the beginning. Always existed. And the Bible's all about that, from Genesis to Revelation, of Christ coming, of Christ who came, and Christ who's coming again. God's creation, and then we sinned as men, and we continue to sin. We need forgiveness. Are you with me on that? If you think you don't need forgiveness, you're a liar and you need forgiveness. We need forgiveness.
And Jesus Christ came into the world for the very reason to die for your sin. To take away your sin. And don't forget, He's coming again. That is good news. He came into the world fulfilling hundreds of prophecies. Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will give birth to a child and you will call him what? Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And you will call him, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whether you like all the mess with Christmas or not, perk up and listen to this. Christmas is good news. It is the best news because it reminds us that God is with us. And it tells us a lot about God, doesn't it? But it also tells us a lot about what we're like. And it tells us everything we need to know to really live and die. But we need to know the story. And it's sketched for us in Philippians chapter 2. Let's read from verse 5 through verse 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow or will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Christmas begins with God. There's the beginning to your story. Christmas begins with God. Now, we don't usually think of this passage as the Christmas story. We read, and we read last night from Matthew and Luke and John. We read from John this morning. We don't usually think of Philippians as being the Christmas story. Yet this story begins where the story has to begin. With God. Jesus Christ has always existed. If I were to ask you, when was Jesus born? Most of us would say, in Bethlehem, December 25th. No, he became a human then. Probably not December 25th, but in Bethlehem. But how long has Jesus existed? The beginning of our story is way before the beginning. He's always existed. Otherwise, how could John the Baptist say, as was read to you earlier from the Gospel of John, here he comes, and he who comes after me is greater because he was before he came. He's always existed. Always was. Before his birth in Bethlehem, he was God. But notice verse 6. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In the very form God. Now, if you want to pull out your Greek New Testament, the word there is morphe. We get words like morph from that word. That describes his essence. That's who he really was. And he took the morphe of a servant. Tells you something about God, doesn't it? What's his nature? To serve. But he took the likeness of a man, not the same word. He became in the appearance as a man. But notice that phrase, in the very form God. That doesn't mean that he was like God. That doesn't mean he was sort of like God. And we use that word like all the time, don't we? Well, it's like Sunday. No, it is Sunday. Hebrews chapter 1 puts it this way, he is the exact representation of God. He's not a copy. He's not close to God. He's not just godly. He was God. He is God. He is God in the flesh. Now, for 22 Christmases, I remind you of this. What's the big word? God incarnate. What does incarnate mean? We sing songs at Christmas about God incarnate, Noel, Noel. What does incarnate mean? Yeah, you know. I bet some of you have eaten or will eat this Christmas season chili con carne. That means chili with what? Incarnate means God with meat, God in a bod, God in the flesh. And verse 6 says, but he didn't consider that to be something to be grasped, to hold on. Now get this about the Christmas story. He deliberately chose to empty himself. He made himself nothing. Here is God, unlimited by time, unlimited by space, not limited by human weakness, not limited by death. God became a man. Wow. Something he created, he became. Now, he didn't stop being God. He was fully God, fully man, but he chose to become man, came down to earth as a baby. Something, that doesn't that blow your mind? Something God created, he became. If you could imagine that, you made something, and then you can imagine, I can't even imagine it, becoming something I created. If I was to take, I say, okay, I'm going to take and create a me. You say, no, one's enough. And I got some popsicle sticks, and I stuck them together to make it look like a scrawny old man. Don't need to even put much hair on it anymore. Could you imagine something I created? I became a popsicle stick man. And if I could become a popsicle stick man that I created, how would I come to the other popsicle stick men? Hey, I made you, listen to me. But the story goes on. Not only something he created, he became, but he became a servant to the other popsicle stick man he created. Something he created, he became, and became a servant, a slave, the lowest level of society. Doesn't that tell you a lot about God and his humility? And every area of his life demonstrated humility. His birth. If you were writing the story, where would he have been born? The finest hospital, surrounded by the best doctors. Where was he born? His crib. His ministry, where he said, I have no place to lay my head. Didn't even have a home. The washing of the disciples' feet. His death, his burial in a borrowed tomb. And he allowed what he created. Don't miss this in the story. He allowed what he created to murder him. The worst kind of death, it goes on, even death on a cross. The most shameful, humiliating form of death. On a famous hill outside of Jerusalem, he was crucified between a murderer and a thief. He said, but everybody dies. I mean, look at yourself. Look at those, you know, tell those people around you, no, you ain't going to be here in 100 years. You're dying. But what's the difference? When a baby is born, we think the baby is born to live. This baby was born to die. For you and me. And that's why he came into the world. No, death didn't catch him by surprise. He wasn't run over in the streets of Jerusalem by a chariot. An assassin didn't stick a dagger in his side. He didn't die of cancer or some other dreaded disease. Jesus said, for this reason, I came into the world. I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down. Now, without the Bible telling us the story, how would you imagine, if you could imagine, God entering our world? Surely he would come as a great king. With all the splendor like the kings of England. He would be some super celebrity. And then coming down with everybody adoring him and him telling them who he is. He would set them all straight. But that's not how it was it? Came as a helpless baby. born in dirty animal stalls. His coming into the world was disgustingly commonplace. His mother, a peasant girl, probably in her teens. His father, a common laborer from some hick town. Christ, God, the mighty, was born. Now why? Why did he do that? Why did he come? Well, first of all, if you read your text, in obedience to God. God told himself, because Jesus is God. He's always existed. God said, man's a mess, but I'm going to come to their world in obedience to the plan of God and to show us what Christ is like. What was read to you earlier, John 1, verse 18? No one has ever seen God. Anyone here ever seen God? Don't raise your hand or we'll take you to a special hospital. I mean, you've seen the works of God, you've seen the evidence of God, but if God doesn't come and have coffee with you. No one has ever seen God, John says, but Jesus Christ came into the world to demonstrate God to us, to show us what God is like. In spite of our sin, to bring us back to God and fellowship with God, and that's really the main message of the Christmas story, the heart of the story. But the rest of the story, you read on, therefore, verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place. He wasn't just born and died. He wasn't left on the cross. He wasn't left in the grave. Verse 9 through 11 tells us he was exalted to how high of a place? The highest of place. And God, Jesus, rules. He reigns. And one day, everyone will admit that. That's what the word confess. Everyone will admit. Everyone, he will someday bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He will have uncontested rule. Notice, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What comes before verse 11? Very good. Verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus, what is the name of Jesus? What is the name of Jesus that he's referring to? Is it like abracadabra? If I just say Jesus enough, if I just pray enough using Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, or in the name of Jesus. That's not what it means. What's his name? Lord. Boss. If you agree that Jesus is your boss, that's the idea. Exalted. How do you relate this Christmas story? What's the application? How do I apply it to my life? Think of all the Christmas stories. You know, I really can't relate to a little drummer boy. Can you? I can't even relate to Rudolph. And if we want to keep it biblical, I can't really relate to angels. Or to shepherds. Never been a shepherd. I really can't even relate to Joseph and Mary. And I'm surely not God. I can't relate to God. So how do I relate this story to my life? What's the meaning? Well, first of all, remember, it tells us what God is like. That God is not far away. You're not separated from God if you're in Christ. How close is God? Emmanuel, he is with us. That God of the Bible is involved in history. And he's willing to humble himself, to sacrifice himself. He is a loving God, a merciful God. But he's God. And he wants you. And I can't figure this out. But he wants you and I so much that he's willing to do all of this for you. That's the meaning of the Christmas story. Karl Barth was a German theologian, great writer, great speaker. He was once asked to summarize, what is Christianity really all about? And here's this great mind, this great theologian. What would he say? What is Christianity all about? You know what he said? This was his reply. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And God showed His love in the person of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave Jesus to tell us so. You know, our world thinks it is so smart, doesn't it? We have all the answers. We have sent people to the moon. We may even send someone to Mars. We can cure all the diseases. We can take care of global warming or global freezing. But we can't even answer the question, who am I? Where am I going? H.G. Wells was often referred to as the world's greatest optimist. But he came eventually to despair as a man who lives without God. He wrote this in his autobiography. He said, "Here I am at 65, still searching for peace, but a dignified peace is but an empty dream." That's our world. But Christmas tells us something different. God became a man. The all-powerful God of heaven was born into the human race. And what the Christmas story tells us, doesn't it shatter your mind? Christmas also tells us what we're supposed to do in response. Go back to our text, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How do I apply that to my life? I'm not God. I had a beginning. I wasn't there with God in the beginning. How can I die for anyone else's sin? I can't. So how do I apply that? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Try these on. Humility. He humbled himself. Try on obedience. He became obedient to the Father. I'm not God. And let me shatter your bubble, neither are you. But you can be like God in humility and obedience. And the world will tell you, no, that's giving up the good life. Live for yourself. Well, how's that working for you, world? Not too good. It's not giving up anything, really. It's gaining what is really life. The Christmas story, yeah, it tells us a lot. But I want you to leave today with this in mind. Christmas story tells us that you can live forever with God. God is with us, and you can be with God. And when you bow to the babe who died, that's the reason he came, on the cross, who defeated death, you don't bow just at Christmas. I'll pay homage on your birthday. Happy birthday. See you next year. It's a way of life. How many kings, how many would do all of this for me? Only one was willing. Only one did. Every good story has a beginning and an end and a middle in the middle. Christmas begins with God. Christmas ends with God. And in the middle, God became
a man. Pray with me. Father, we love stories, but this story is not one we made up. This is one that you planned before the very beginning of the world. I pray that we would bow our lives to you, not just at Christmas or when it's convenient, but we would acknowledge, confess that you are Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you were willing. You were the only one acceptable to God the Father to die to take away our sin. So we celebrate you today. In Jesus' name, amen.